Lord, we do praise your name, Lord. You're a mighty God, a mighty King. And Lord, all of us in this room have a lot to be thankful for, Lord. It isn't that we're without problems, Lord, but with all of the problems, we still have a lot to be thankful for. And we praise you for your wonderful goodness to us, Lord. In the past year, it's been marvelous the things that you have done. Lord, you have been true to your word. And we praise you, Lord, that you are reliable and faithful in all that you do. And Lord, we just look at this new year coming up. Lord, we believe it's a year fraught with great potential and great possibilities, Lord, in the kingdom. Lord, we know the world is saying, what's next? But Lord, your prophets will know and will declare it. Hallelujah. You know what's next, Lord, and you know where we're going, and you know where the nation is going, and you know where the world is going. We're thankful, Lord, that we're on the winning side, and that we do have the wisdom that comes from above. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. We thank you so much that we are not wandering in the blindness of the world. We praise you, Lord, that you have rescued us from the kingdom of the devil, and we give you thanks for that, Lord. Praise your name. Now, Lord, we're a needy people this morning as we stand before you, Lord. We can't face the coming year in our own strength, in our own wisdom, Lord. We know that every sense of security that we have that's not rooted in you is false, and it will let us down in the time of the flood. So, Lord, we pray this day that our minds will be entirely on you, our hopes will be in you, our plans will be in you, our trust will be in you, and that we will serve Jesus in this coming year as we never have in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we will hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, that we will not be in darkness, but that we will know, Lord, what it is you want to do with us individually. Now, Lord, this morning we need to hear from you. We need to know. And so we do not trust ourselves, but only in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you will keep in mind the radio audiences that hear this tape, Lord, and bless them in their many, many needs, and help them to find you, and help us, Lord. Oh, you're so wonderful, Jesus. And we lift up your name. You've proven yourself to us through the years. And we know that you're going to be mighty in valor this coming year, Lord, and meeting every need and leading us to victory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise your wonderful name this morning, Lord. We give all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ for the answer. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to Joel, the second chapter. Joel. Let's feel the Lord's presence so much in these days. It just seems like he's been more real. It's getting more real all the time. Do you notice that? Are you inviting the Lord into your home and on your property? He doesn't want us to serve him anymore like a Lord afar off. The name of that city shall be The Lord Is There. So I think it's in the last verse in Ezekiel somewhere around there. The name of that city shall be The Lord Is There. And I believe God wants to be with us. Not a God afar off. Not just a God up in heaven. Not just a God that we read about in the Bible. But he wants to be more real in our homes and in our lives than he has ever been. I feel that in my spirit. That God is coming in an unusual way. In fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, the coming of the King to us personally is what is about. So I very...
The time has come when he will make a covenant with those who have come to him by sacrifice. A covenant of peace and a covenant of his presence within thy life. And thou shalt know him as thou hast longed to know him. Yea, he shall walk within thee and shall be in thy heart and thy mind of covenant of the living God. For the set time of the Father has come, and thou shalt know him. Thou shalt know him. Those that have made a covenant by sacrifice shall know him. Yet the presenting of thy life and thy body and thy hopes and thy ambitions and thy desires shall be unto him, and he shall come and dwell within thee and walk within thee. Oh, thou art chosen of the Lord, those who have made thy covenant with him.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. David, watch that they be sure that the controls pick up the prophecies. Just watch that needle there. Watch and pray. Praise the Lord. I tell you, after the Feast of Pentecost comes the Feast of Trumpets, and we've talked about it, but it is taking place. And the Lord is coming, and he wants you and me to move past where we've been. He's not going to be a God that we read about, just read about in the Bible, but this is God's time to come. You know, it's marvelous that we should be living in such a day. All right, let's read Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Joel 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is the historical fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets, when we'll tie the two together as the Lord enables. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. Notice that the trumpet is blown in Zion. The world is not alerted today. They have no concept of God's attitude toward what's going on. The people of the United States do not have any concept. In fact, most of the church doesn't have any concept of what's going on, but are going this way and that and saying this and that, and surely it'll be all right. And one I heard recently, in fact, yesterday, a man was telling me that a very good church, a very good Pentecostal church not so long ago had prayer and fasting that God would not judge this nation. That God would not shake this nation. A large, well-developed Pentecostal charismatic church. See, there's no contact with what God's mind is there. There's the idea if we have a nice church and preach nice, then we can be strong and well-principled people and prosper, and why not? And that makes sense, and it appeals to us. It wouldn't appeal to somebody behind the Iron Curtain, but it appeals to us here. But when you touch God, that's not what God is saying. See, that makes sense to the natural mind. Why shouldn't we be free and prosperous and happy and more and more? Why shouldn't we? No reason against it. No Bible against it. But when you touch God, that's not what God is saying. That's not what God is saying. See, God is not primarily concerned that we be happy and prosperous. God is concerned that His Christ inherit the earth. See, it's a different set of values. And so that's when you get into the spiritual realm. He's not saying what our natural mind and natural thinking is saying. He's saying something different. So you have to get into that prophetic realm to get truth, because your eyes and the television and even what is being preached will deceive you. It'll deceive you. Because you'll think, wow, you know, I said it before. So, you know, you can go to a church that's preaching that everything's fine and God's not going to judge the nation. Be like a guy that kept three clocks in his room, 2 hours apart, you know. When you wake up in the morning, if you feel like getting up, you go to the clock that says it's time to get up. If you don't feel like getting up, you take the clock that says it's not time yet. See? But this means nothing because the only thing that matters is which clock is correct. And so it is. You can't go to the church that's telling you good stuff. You've got to go, you have to find out for yourself what God is saying. See? And set your clock by that. You have to find out what God is saying, not what sounds good or makes sense, but what God is saying. Praise the Lord. Now, I'd love to be able to say, oh boy, we don't have to worry about China or Russia. That's their problem. They've done it themselves and brought on themselves, et cetera, and so on. And if we're well principled, ambitious people get up and go and are active, we can live high and everything. People that are having a bad time, that's their problem. See, I could preach that. Praise the Lord. Makes sense to me. I work hard. I haven't often been accused of being lazy. But you see, when you go to God, God isn't saying that at all. God is saying, sound the alarm. Sound the alarm in Zion and let the people know what is on God's mind. Praise the Lord. See the difference there? So don't turn to your natural mind and don't turn to your cassettes and books and everything else. Find out what Jesus is saying. You can do it. And God will tell you what He's doing. Then you set your clock right. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. I love to tremble. You know, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I don't like that. You know why we don't like that? When we don't like that, it's because we're immature. Now, that may sound like a cocky and a proud thing to say, but it's true. When we are childish Christians, we take our joy from the fact that things are going right. We don't have any sickness in the house and everything seems to be looking up well and that financial picture isn't too grim and we have a reasonable sense. And you know, we just feel good. And the weather's nice and we come to church. And, you know, people being swept out of their homes in Mississippi, well, that's too bad, but it's not hitting us, you know. And so we feel not too bad. We hope we come to church, the preacher won't be all down like he usually is, telling us some terrible thing. And if he does, we can make it anyway. It's only 2 hours, an hour. What's the difference? You know, we can make it. But that's because we don't have the joy of the Lord. We've got the peace of prosperity. When you get the joy of the Lord and the preacher talks about trembling, it makes you feel good all over because there's a different kind of joy. There's a different kind of peace that comes from walking in God. Praise the Lord. And it's not dependent on things are going good, great. But if they're not, there's another vision. There's another thing that you're seeing. You're hearing different sounds and you're seeing the land that's very far off. And you love to fear the Lord because there's goodness in it. And there's health in it. And there's peace in it. Praise the Lord. So it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And that's a good, healthy place to be. Just makes you feel good all over. Have that feeling that you're in God. You're just in the Lord. Praise God, not in the flesh. The day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. Well, you see, our assumption has been, oh boy, when the Lord comes, it's going to be like Santa Claus. You know, when Messiah comes, I don't have this problem. When Messiah comes, everything will be, when Jesus comes. But you see, the Bible does not teach that. The Bible consistently, especially in the Old Testament, says the day of the Lord is a time to tremble. Now, how do you reconcile that with us? You reconcile that with our joy as Christians this way. If we are really into God and are getting the victory over sin and getting the victory over self-will and are really serving the Lord, not just playing games, but really are into God, then many of the joys of our life and the hopes of our life have been held over to the future. See, the gospel of the kingdom to a great extent runs like this. Blessed are you who mourn now. See, that's what Jesus said. Blessed are you who mourn now. Woe unto you, see, that are rich now. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Woe unto you who are rich. Woe unto you who are at ease in Zion. See, that's the way Jesus talked. Blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. And that's why the proper place for the Christian The Christian is a person who has set aside his own life and it has been committed unto Jesus. He has deferred. In that sense, it is otherworldly. We look for our joy to a world that's coming. See, that's a true Christian viewpoint. And to those who look with that attitude, yes, the coming of the Lord is like Christmas. It's wonderful. But if you have managed somehow to have all your hopes gratified here, you are not mourning. You've got it made. Somehow you've worked it, so you've got it in Jesus too. Then the coming of the Lord may not be such a pleasant prospect. And so for those who are walking in the flesh and are at ease and have made it now, the coming of the Lord is not a Sunday school picnic. It is not a time when we're all going to be rejoicing, caught up, and eating tuna fish sandwiches and potato chips. That's not the coming of the Lord. Joel 2 is a true picture of the coming of the Lord. And the only ones who can rejoice and take pleasure in it are God's little flock who walk in fear and trembling before the Lord each day and have all their hopes and dreams wrapped up in Jesus. And He gives us enough for today. Praise the Lord. But so much has to be deferred. And if you're not in that place of deferred hope, you better get to the Lord and find out, because that's the true scriptural position. That's the way Jesus lived. That's the way Paul lived. That's the way Peter lived. They were not men of this world. They were men who lived in the hope of a kingdom that's coming. Praise the Lord. And let that be your resolve this year. Lord, I am not of this world. I am not going to find my joy and satisfaction in this world. I'm going to find it in You. And I'm going to bow the knee at the altar of God until You make this a fact in my life. That's true Christian discipleship. It's not what we are accustomed to. It is a lie. If we were in a land of persecution, we would understand it much more. If being a Christian meant we couldn't get a job, our kids couldn't go to school, or it could mean imprisonment, or danger of some kind, or deprivation, then we would have done my preaching and say, well, of course. But when we're in a land where being a Christian doesn't cost you anything, then it's hard to picture. What is He talking about? Deferred hope. What is there to be deferred? And so whether you're in the land of ease or whether you're behind the iron curtain, God will make your discipleship real to you. But you've got to go to Him, because we get lulled asleep so easily. And it's up to you, and it's maybe harder when there's prosperity than it is where there's not, to really keep the iron in your soul. Praise the Lord. Is that right? Of your own volition, you have to slay down your life and say, well, I'm not behind the iron curtain, but there's a lot of things around me that would bring me into hell, and I'm resolved to live for God. And God will give you a cross. Praise the Lord. And when He does, then you look for the coming of the day of the Lord as relief and hope and blessing, because you don't have it now. But if you have it now, if you're rich now, you will mourn in that day. That's the way it works. Lazarus and the rich man. See? You had yours, and now it's his turn. Blessed are you who mourn, for you shall be comforted. Now here's a true description of the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness. When it comes upon the world, there will be anguish, and people will be look up and say, oh God. And those who have not been living for God as they should, and who have not picked up their cross and have been walking in God as they should, and have hoarded to themselves this world's good, will realize that they have not attained that which they could have attained. When they see the riches of the kingdom going to the poor and the despised, and they'll say, but God, I thought You loved me. I thought all this blessing was a sign of Your love. And Jesus will say, but have you never read what it says? And you'll be mourning. You'll be in anguish, because you'll say, well, I did. I was able to work it so that I had everything, and I wasn't really hurting too bad. And I had the gospel too, and I expected to be an overcomer. And you're putting crowns on those kind of people. And your heart will be sick, because you traded the true values for the things which are temporal. Sell what you have. That's why Jesus said, sell what you have and give to the poor. And follow Me, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord. That's what the gospel says. And so the day of the Lord for this world and for Christians who are living in this world's light is a day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and a thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. This is the morning of the coming of the Lord. This is a true. And all this stuff about the rapture is not in the Bible. It's not traditional. It's tradition, but not scriptural. This is the true coming of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But won't there be coming of the Lord before that? Because he doesn't want his saints to suffer. Listen, it is going to be the things that are coming that are going to make the church perfect. Boy, if we were to be taken out before these things come to pass upon the earth, we would be the great losers. We would be the great losers. It is these things which are going to perfect the church. It is these things which are going to make us what we should be in God and separate between Babylon and the true church. It is these things that are necessary. If God was to come now, we would lose it. Praise the Lord. That's true. All right. Now, what do you see here? In the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this gloominess, in the midst of this frightening appearance when the Lamb comes and people are crying out for the rocks and the mountains and the sinners in Zion are afraid and the hypocrites are amazed and they're crying out and the five foolish virgins are weeping and gnashing their teeth because they see the kingdom and they have missed the kingdom and it's too late. And all this is going on. And in the midst of this chaos and furor, what do we see? A great people and a strong. See, the two go together. If you have lightness and frivolity and things satisfied now, you get a weak people. You get a weak people. And so God, this is describing the kingdom-wide fulfillment of trumpets. But the Lord is coming today in the personal fulfillment of trumpets. The Lord is coming today to make that people. The people who will be revealed in that day, the Lord is coming today to make that people. And how do you make a great people and a strong? How do you create a great people and a strong? Tell me that. Do you give them what they want? How do you create in the special forces, in the military, how do you create people who can survive under commando conditions or under special command? How do you do it? Do you give them the best barracks? Do you give them the best food? Do you give them the easiest routines while the foot soldiers have so many exercises? You give them fewer exercises. You keep them happy and sweet and joyous, more shore leave, more liberty, more good things. Is that how you train a special force, Neil? No, that is not how you train them. How do you train them? You put them under the most adverse conditions possible. Things that the infantry never are exposed to. Starvation, dehydration. They get lessons on what to do when they're dehydrated. See, that the infantry never gets. Because they are going to be put in places of unusual hardship where they have to survive. And when God is setting about to create an army, to create a great people and a strong, he starts with people who love the Lord. He starts with people who are determined to serve them, and then he comes to them, and he begins to deal with them about every little thing in their life. Far stricter than he does with the average person. He's creating a great people and a strong. And if you aspire to be in this company, and if God has chosen you to be in his army that shall liberate the creation, as we sang this morning, that shall go and shall wipe out that which is sinful and iniquity and unrighteousness and bring the power of God and set the creation free, you're going to have to be a great person and a strong person. How are you made great and strong in the Lord? You're going to have to be great in faith and strong in faith. You're going to have to be great in humility and strong in humility. You're going to have to be great in prayer and strong in prayer. You're going to have to be great in your ability to sustain the pressures and strong in your ability to sustain the pressures. And if you cry to God and work your life so that you evade what God is trying to do in your life and insist on being happy today and insist on being comforted and secure today, I do not say that you'll be lost. I have no idea what God will do with any individual person. That judgment is left to God alone. But you will not be a great person and a strong person, because character is formed in the fire. It is gold tried in the fire. So if we are willing to defer to the day of the Lord, and God gives us good things, and the Scripture teaches that. It says, there's no man that hath forsaken house or farm or whatever, but he shall receive 100-fold more in this life. God is faithful to His Word. We'll get along better than if we had lived in sin. But we have to do it in God's time and in God's way. Praise the Lord. We can't say, oh boy, that means that I'm going to have abundance now, or I'm going to have this, that. No. God will give you what you should have when you should have it, in God's time and in God's way. Praise the Lord. He's looking for people who will be absolutely obedient. He's looking for people who will take up their cross and follow Jesus. He's looking for people who will put everything and everybody and every situation on the altar. A great people and a strong. And God wants you to be a great person and a strong person. And He's got the program that will do it. And it's not easy on the flesh. And it's not easy on the spirit. And it's not easy on the mind. And it's not easy on the soul. But everything, God goes through our personality. He looks for the sin. He looks for the self-seeking and everything. We say, Lord, later, why do I have to put up with this? Why is it now? Why is this wrong? Why is that wrong? God's making you a great person and a strong. And if you evade it or don't accept it and say, oh, God, I'm going to sin, but I know You'll forgive me because You love me. I don't say He won't. I don't say He will. I don't know. But I know that You will defeat your own program is what You'll do. You can't have it both ways. Let that be our cry for 1983. You can't have it both ways. Praise the Lord. So, either we tremble and fear God and serve Him now, as though this is the last day on earth, or we say a little more time to do what I want to, and then, Lord, I'm going to serve You. Huh? After New Year's, after Christmas, after Easter, after I pay my income tax. Huh? Boy, then am I going to get down to business. I'll be a sign and a wonder. After I do my thing. Or the young people say, when I'm as old as Brother Thompson. And life is over. Then I'll get serious. And the middle-aged say, when I get that last shekel in my retirement fund, when I'm vested in the fund, and I have so much net spendable, then I'll serve the Lord. No, you won't. You'll serve Him today, or you won't serve Him at all. Because that's the way it is. Because every day of procrastination puts another chain on your spirit. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is that true? Huh? We're willing. Boy, you know, visions of glory. And we love to sing about it. I mean, you could get up and march around the church. Isn't that right? Glory, hallelujah. God is marching on. And we feel like marching. And we should. And so God says, well, that's what you want to do is march. I'll train you to be a soldier. My spirit's willing, Lord, but the flesh is saying, in no manner, shape, or form are you putting up with anything like that. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what Jesus said to His disciples. All right. A great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like. And that's what Jesus said. Many that are last shall be first. The great days of God's mighty men are not behind us. They're ahead of us. And you have the opportunity in the days which are coming, you have the opportunity to be strong and do exploits. I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit are being restored to the churches. A guy was telling me yesterday that some fellow in the church had a preacher had a problem with the transmission of his car, And the Lord gave this fellow a vision of the transmission, what was wrong with him. I believe that. I believe that. And he was rejoicing in it, and he got a lot of glory out of it. I think he said that God would use me. And he was telling about in another case where this Christian was in a department store, and the Lord showed him that a lady was going to catch her heel in an escalator and fall, and he ran up just in time to keep her from hurting herself. You know, God wants to use us like that. He wants us to be so sensitive. We're in the day, and I believe we're in the day when there may be joblessness, 10, 15%, 20%. Listen, that's not us. We go to the Bible. The Bible says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. There may be famine, there may be drought, there may be pestilence, there may be these things, but the Bible teaches us that we don't have to have those things. But in order to have the victory and to get the victory over sickness and over loss of job or whatever these things, and not to be defeated but to get the things supernaturally, we're going to have to live in God. Hallelujah. It's not going to be all lightness and games and everything else while the world is dying in agony, but there will be a made through way through like there was for the prophets. So the things that are coming up are not to make us sorrowful. Boy, if you get sorrowful when things are coming up, I tell you, you're living in the flesh. I'll tell you right here now, you are living in the flesh. Because the things that are coming up are glory for the people who are living in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And we're just going to have to learn to forget what the statistics are. They don't affect us. The only thing that affects us is what God has said. And God has said, I will supply their needs. God has said, goodness and mercy shall follow them. Thousands shall fall at their side, but it shall not come near them. That is what God has said. And if we are living in the Spirit, we can claim these promises. Praise the Lord. So there's great joy and great hope. And the darker the night gets, the brighter the light is going to shine. The more miracles there are going to be as a judgment calamity comes, the more opportunity for the gifts of the Spirit if you're living in the Spirit. You can rise and walk on the water, and I believe some of us will walk on the water literally. Or you can love the world and go down with the world. That's going to be your choice in 1983. Praise the Lord. To live like a prophet or to walk in the flesh. And because God's going to make a division. He's going to purify and cleanse His church. And He's here now to do that. So don't put your joy on your hopes, your aspirations, on what you're going to do someday in the world. Put them in the Lord. Say, God, my joy is in You. My hope is in You. Ask God today. Say, God, give me a true hope. Give me a true vision, a true joy. I want my joy, my vision, my hope to be taken out of that which is natural, which I can attain naturally by education or work or conniving or however you do your thing. But I want to get my joy in You. If you do that, God will shift your values, shift your hopes, shift your joys to those things which are eternal, and they're just as real as the other, but they will stand in the day which is coming. But if you put your hope on this world and the delights of this world, you're going to be hollering like 60 in the days to come because you're going to go down with the world. See? That's it. A great people. There's never been people like this before. There's never been people like the people that are going to be raised up in our generation. They're going to have the knowledge of God. They're going to build on everything that's been gone before. Every experience that every prophet's ever had, every patriarch, the Christian church, we have all that knowledge in our consciousness. We don't have to make those mistakes. We don't have to make the mistake Adam made. We don't have to make the mistake Moses made. We don't have to make the mistake Joshua made. We don't have to do any of these things. Make the mistake that Peter made with presumption and thinking what he's able to do. We have all these examples. They've already made their mistakes. And God wants a people in the end time that have a double portion of the Spirit, the knowledge of those mistakes, and that are able to stand without blowing the thing, without getting puffed up, without doing. And we've seen the mighty healing ministries come over the last century. What has happened? People being built big tents, become stars. We've seen those mistakes. We've seen people who have had mighty endowments from on high, and then were tricked into believing they were Elijah, or they were something special. We've seen these things. We can profit from these things. We don't have to make these mistakes. All these things have gone before because God is bringing us to a place where we can bear the anointing, the fullness of God's power, and not blunder, go right on through to total victory, not get fouled up morally, not get fouled up in money, not get fouled up trying to take the glory of God. We've seen the people that have made those mistakes, and their end is bitter. We see the price that David paid for adultery. We see that thing, and it followed him all the rest of his days. We don't have to make those mistakes. David was up running around in his house when he should have been out with the men of war. We understand that. We keep ourselves in a condition of war wherever we are. See, we learn from what has gone before. And Jesus said, many that are last shall be first. Praise the Lord. We're in the days of the double portion. You feel a challenge. 83 is either going to be a year for you of seeking the world, or it's going to be a year for you of seeking God. You're going to have to make your choice. You try to straddle the two and you're going to be torn apart. And if God's hand is on you and you take the way of the flesh and say, I'm still going to do it, you're going to have trouble, double trouble, frustration, and everything till you start doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So get set for it. A fire devours before them. You see, that's not a very pleasant picture. Do you know that before you can build a thing that's right, you have to tear down what's there? See, before... I had that experience in going to a very fine teacher, a music teacher. And I had been a musician for many years. And this fellow would have none of it. I mean, he started all over from scratch. He wanted his way. He wanted the perfection in his way. And many, many times you come to a thing and it's beyond repair. And that you can patch it up. You can put on your... stuff that you give Mr. Fix-All and everything else and patch up the cracks, but the thing that's wrong is the foundation is wrong. See? You get a crack, starts around in the thing, in your ceiling or something, you get in, somebody knows what they're doing, and he says, your land is sinking. Your land is sinking. I can fix it up for $30, but you're going to have the same thing next week. Well, what do I have to do? You have to get engineers in here. You've got to put footings on your house. You've got a basic problem that's going to cost you thousands of dollars. No, I'll pay the $25 one. See? But if a guy knows what he's doing, next week there's going to be a crack in the thing because it's not a crack that can be fixed easily. And you see, this world is on a rotten foundation. And we could come into it as sons of God and we could heal the sicknesses. We could heal every child that was sick. We could give wisdom that would avert financial calamity. We could patch up and repair, and we could take people one at a time and say, what's your need? And they tell us, and we say, zap, there's the answer. We could do that to every person in the world. But you know what's wrong? It's wrong at the root. It's wrong at the foundation. And when the sons of God go through the earth, they're not going to do a $25 patch-up job. They're going to get at the root of the thing and burn it out with fire. So that when they build from then on, the thing will be right and it will not crack. And that's why it says the flame is burning before them. Not because they come because they hate people or they're here to destroy the world, but because they're coming upon the works of the flesh, which when you patch them up, you don't have anything. You know, people come, don't they? And we do that sometimes. Your relatives will do this if you're serving God. They won't even give you the time of day till they have a problem. One of the children is sick. Their marriage is busting up. Then they want the church to pray. You know what that is? That's cosmetics. They want us to take something that is basically wrong and put a cosmetic on it. Make it right. I've lived wrong and now this has come upon me. Now I want God to make it right. You ever hear people do that? And what happens when God makes it right? They don't serve you. Have you ever known anybody that was in a terrible place and people fasted and prayed and God healed them and they never gave God the credit? Have you ever seen it? Never had any intention of serving God. They wanted one thing. They wanted it fixed up. They wanted a cosmetic job. They did not about to have the foundation messed with. They just wanted the thing was cracking and it looked lousy and they wanted a cosmetic on it. They wanted it to look right. They wanted the immediate pressure off. My child is sick. I want him healthy. See? Never mind whether that's good or bad spiritually. I just want this thing fixed so it doesn't annoy me. Now, I'm telling you, the day's over for me. I don't want to patch anybody up. It's no service to them. It's just a cheapie. It's just a cheapie. It's just patch it up, put a little scotch tape on it, glue it up, make it work today. But you know what's going to happen? Tomorrow it's going to be worse. Because it's eating from within. It's eating from within. It's just like putting spray paint over rust. It's eating from within, and you make it look nice, but anybody knows what they're doing, no, you're just putting off disaster and collapse. And if the sons of God were to come to the world and answer people's prayers and heal their sin, do all these things, they're just spraying rust with paint. That's all they're doing. And so when they come, there's a fire burning before them because they're going at the root. And you know where God starts with this fire? In the great people and the strong. Because the husbandman that labors must be first partaker of the fruits. And if we're going to march in God's army, we first of all have to have this experience ourselves. And if we are going to judge men and angels, we have to be judged first. There has to be people somewhere who will go through it first. And if that's what you aspire to be in God's army, then I'm telling you, it's going to come find your house's fire. Not cosmetics, not the immediate answer to your prayer, not even anything understandable, but perplexity. And things that you're looking this direction, it comes from over here. You say, well, there's nothing wrong over here, the problem's here. Why the pressure from over here? But you see, you're not dealing with a college professor. You're dealing with God. You deal with a college professor, he's got all his formulas, or a preacher, he's got all his formulas. If you're doing this wrong, this is how you fix it all. God doesn't do that. He comes to you as an individual and says, oh, you want to be in Joel's army? Okay, then I'll take you at your word. And then God, your creator, that breathed you up out of the dust of the ground, he comes over, he's present. He comes into your life as a person, not a formula, not a charismatic formula, but as a person. And he says, now he knows... You know, he knows how you want you to look and play the piano. He knows. And he does it his way. Hallelujah. He does it his way. And in the meanwhile, the crack's still there. Yeah, I want you to fix the crack. God said, that isn't the problem. The problem's in the foundation. And God begins to work on the foundation. And he blows fire on the foundation. You say, boy, my whole life is blowing up. If it hasn't happened to you, be patient. It will. And you can get the tape. Just remember when it was. 1-2-82 a.m. And you say, wow, yeah, it happens to people. Believe me. And you know, they've heard the same thing for 7 years. And then it happened. Oh, wow, what is that? It's all over. You know, it's gone. You say, well, that's what you've heard for 7 years. They're oblivious because the thing finally caught up on them. And they say, you know, it's all right to talk about getting on the roller coaster and everything and hanging on when you're going around the corners, but when it happens, it's a horse of a different color. It's a different situation when it's happening. Huh? It's fine to watch people go around screaming, but when you're sitting in the roller coaster, it's different. So you just remember and you say, oh, that's the way they said it's supposed to be. And God will try your deepest desires. And God will try your deepest fears, your deepest duties, your deepest lusts, your deepest ambitions in a way that you weren't counting on. He's getting at the foundation. He doesn't play around with the cosmetics. He gets down where number one is. He touches things in your life that you didn't even know were present. Buttons you didn't even know could be pushed. But trust him, because he's doing you good. He's not taking anything from you. He's working on the foundation. That's why a fire devours before them, not because they're not interested in healing, not because they're not interested in saving people, but because the world is rotten at its root. It's nothing you can fix with education. It's nothing you can fix with healing. It's nothing you can fix with cosmetics. You have to get down and get at people, get at the basic root of conniving and lying. Because people, all of us, I say this with the greatest compassion. All of us are essentially liars. And we lie to ourselves. And when we're pushed hard enough, we lie to ourselves. We lie to God. And we lie to people around us. That lying thing is deep within mankind. Even after we're saved. And God gets down to where that fundamental lie is. And he burns it with fire. Because there can't be any lie in Joel's army. There can't be any self-seeking. There can't be any lust. There can't be any pride. There can't be any doubt. There are great people and a strong. The land is as Eden before them. Why? Because in the days of Antichrist, there'll be peace, and people will say peace and safety, and they'll be buying and selling and planning and giving in marriage. Even under that hideous rule, there will be a material prosperity. Just as today, we have prosperity in the midst of the most abominable sin that's going on in the United States of America. It's so bad we don't even think about it anymore. Isn't that right? We don't even think about it. We don't even want to think of such garbage going on, but it's going on in our land. See, in the midst of material abundance, the land, you look at our fair land and it looks like Eden. But you lift up the cover of it and it's a demon's playground. It's a stinking cesspool that's going on with the drinking. They pass laws against drunk driving. What they do is get more people in jail. People will see that they're going to kill children. They don't care. They'll drink and drive. Nobody's going to stop them. They're going to drink and drive. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's just the little part of the perversion and lust and terrible things that happen in marriages and all kinds of things that's going on right while I'm standing here. We don't want to think about it. We're not doing it. We don't want to think about it until it touches us. Until it touches us. And then we say, all hell has broke loose in my life. When it touches us. Otherwise, other people's problems. But that's what's going on in our nation. It's going on to little children. Their minds are being perverted deliberately, daily. Some of them are being raped and perverted in every possible way. We say, well, our country, 'tis of thee. Our country is as Eden to appear to the eye. A great, you can go and look at it at Disneyland. You can look at the beauty that God has put in this country. But underneath there is sin. The land is Eden, and behind them a desolate wilderness, because the sons of God go and they've been trained themselves. And they are without mercy to God's enemies. They are without mercy. They look at the works of the flesh and it stinks to them. Just like they brought Jesus to Herod's temple. They said, look at this marvelous thing. It was cream-colored granite. Cream and gold. You can imagine how that looked in the sunset. It was on the highest point of the city. One of the most beautiful structures that ever was. Priced beyond measure. That will not be torn down. That was his comment on Herod's temple. And it has come to pass today. There's not a stone, one stone on top of another. And yet when they showed it to him, it was one of the most beautiful structures in the world. Cream-colored granite and marble and gold. The land is as Eden. But Jesus said it will be cast down. Every stone will be cast down. And it's a desolation today. That's because he's the Son of God. And nothing shall escape them. God wants to come into your life, and he doesn't want anything to escape him. We're great at playing the odds. How thorough is your consecration today? How thorough is it? Is it 100% or 99.9? Nothing shall escape them. Remember in Israel, God said, leave nothing. Israel never could have got a hold of that. Saul couldn't get a hold of that. God said, leave nothing alive that breathes in the land where your inheritance is. On the adjacent lands, he gave them commission. They could leave some people alive under certain stipulation. But he said, in the place where you're going to possess, you do not leave anything alive that breathes. And in Israel, they're being human beings. They could not put up with an edict as strict as that. They would see something. They would be moved with compassion. Or with covetousness or something, they can't do it that way. That's too much. And God said, if you don't, it's going to overthrow you in time. And sure enough, a generation, two generations later, that little thing that they had left grew up and overcame them. They began to worship idols and burn their children in the fire. And that's the way it is in our lives. There may be some little thing. I say, it's just a little thing. There's not much to it. It's innocent. And yet, when we get down before God, God is saying, you're not all here. You're just not bringing everything up to the altar. You're doing good. You're a nice person. You brought up some, but you haven't brought it all up. But God, this is such a little thing. God sees it's a little thing now, but it's going to keep you from God's best. God, this is going to be a year fraught with significance. I believe it will be a tremendous year. I have been saying for over 8-9 years, that in the United States we're going to have revival and tribulation running neck and neck. The two are going to come together. We're going to have a tremendous spiritual visitation, and we're going to have tremendous problems. I've been saying this for about 8-9 years, started in Fremont. The two are going to go together. And boy, it is so burning in my bones. I look for 83 to really be a year of remarkable events. And for those who are in the Spirit, it's going to be a year of tremendous spiritual opportunities. For those that are not in the Spirit, it's going to be a time of tremendous mental anguish and decision-making, trying to hold things together because we're not abandoned to God. And if you want to make it, and make it joyfully, you're going to have to give up everything to God. You can't hold on to anything. God wants everything. Praise the Lord. There can't be a room in your life that you have not invited Jesus into. Not one. It's got to be Jesus who decides who your boyfriend or your girlfriend is. Nobody else. If you haven't given that on the altar to Jesus, you're heading for trouble. You're heading for first-class, fiery trouble. Because you get hitched up to the wrong person, and your life is going to be a nightmare. If you're a husband or wife, and you've got your husband or wife before Jesus, he wants to be first. If you don't have Jesus ahead of your wife or ahead of your husband, it's going to be shaken. Your job. Jesus wants to be more important in your life than your job. Your retirement, your savings will last as long as God lets them last. A sickness could wipe them out in 6 months. Wipe them out and leave you penniless. Do you realize that? A sickness, you say, I'm covered. Are you? God can work it around so that you're not covered. That's right. You could be wiped out financially. And if Jesus is first, and you're wiped out financially and reduced and made penniless, and Jesus is first, you'll be impregnable. You'll be just as victorious as you are today, if Jesus is first. Praise the Lord. You can't be blackmailed if Jesus is first, with the fear that I'll lose my job, I'll lose my money, I'll lose my possessions. So he's calling for it all. And if you've never before made Jesus first in your life, this is the time to do it. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, Lord. We know you're looking for a great people and a strong. We know, Lord, that this call to discipleship has never changed. But our nation, Lord, has grown soft. The church has been pleasing people and making money in some cases, Lord, and has lost the touch of God's Holy Spirit in the burden of the prophet. And Lord, we know that we are on thin ice in our economy as far as world events are concerned. We know we can see that, Lord, with our natural understanding. We are on thin ice. We can see the potential for race riots. We can see the potential for a generation of children being raised and trained in rebellion. We can see persecution coming, in some cases from the government. We can see the harassment of Christian schools. We can see it closing in, even in the United States of America. We can see the drunkenness and the adultery and the abortion and all the other things that are going on. And we know what's happened to nations in history that have lived that way. And Lord, we know that when destruction comes, it reaches. There's no way, Lord, that we are going to put up our walls and keep ourselves, because you're the only one that can keep any human being safe. Lord, we know we're on thin ice, and so we're not trusting in the ice, Lord, we're trusting in you. We have our trust in Jesus. And if the ice breaks, Lord, we'll walk on the water. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you do not have it on there 100%. and you're still waffling on the thing. You're not where you should be with Jesus. I'd like you to come to the altar this morning. Praise the Lord. Just get up from where you are and come down to the altar, and let's make this a time when the first Sunday of the new year, and you have communion right at the altar. If there's anyone in here, and you do not have it 100% in Jesus, then I ask you to come down before God does it for you the hard way. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone at all on the sound of my voice, on the radio, wherever it may be? Oh, saints, listen. Listen. Don't fool around. The Spirit of God is speaking clearly about judgment. It has been in this church for some years. It's growing more intense in my spirit. Every day it's the same. God has good things for us, wonderful things that He wants to bring us into. If we make, as the prophecy said this morning, if we make a covenant of peace, God will take care of us. He will bless us. He will supply every need, and we will have abundance of all that we need. Not too much, but enough. Praise the Lord. That we'll be healthy spiritually and physically. God has promised to do that, and He will do it no matter what happens on the earth. But if we persist and do not turn it all over to Jesus, we are heading for trouble. We are heading for trouble. And you can write it down, because it's going to happen. You're going to be taken by the Lord and shaken. Everything will be shaken in your life until you say yes to God without any equivocation. Is there anyone else? Come up this morning and kneel at this altar. Just want you to tell God. It's all going on the altar. And if you don't have it there, you come up here with these folks. And I'm going to ask afterward when we have our take. I don't want anyone walking through here. We're messing up the altar, and people trying to work with the tapes and everything, and you can't blame them, and people want the tapes. But I'm going to ask you this morning, the altar call is getting too important, people. I want to go around the back, even the workers with the tapes. Don't go through here or open this side door. Would you do that, please? Don't open this side door. Because the door to the tape room, because the altar call is too serious in the time in which we're living. To some of these people, it may be the difference between tragedy and glory. It's just that's where it is. If you don't think so, ask God right now. Say, Lord, is that man telling the truth? It's a difference between a home destroyed and glory. Now, listen, if you don't have it all here, you come up this morning and you lay it all down before God. We'll just keep these front pews here and this altar here for those that have a need. Praise the Lord. And we're going to take communion right up here. When the communion ushers come, they'll give communion to the people here. And I want you to make that this morning what you're saying. You're up here this morning, what you're saying before Jesus. If you need help from someone, you can raise your hand and they'll come. But if you're just making your own personal consecration, just keep your hand down and you just make it and say, Jesus, I'm coming into a new year. And I'm going to have it all on the altar. I'm going to walk in the prophetic anointing. I'm not going to give in to sin. I'm going to place my hopes in the spiritual realm. I'm going to place my hopes there and not in my ambitions in the world. If you need to come, come now, because we're getting ready now to have the children come in. Anyone else, just come up here this morning and make that your consecration. I'll ask the ushers now to get the children. If you should be here, you come. You have to take a step. So you have to take a step. And all that step means you're showing God and showing yourself, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to do it. I don't want to have to go at it the hard way. I'm going to give it all to Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, convict each heart, Lord. I have done all that I can do, Lord. The rest is up to you, to your Holy Spirit, Lord. They're your people. They're your people, Lord, and the consecration is unto you. It's unto Jesus the Lord. And Lord, you're the only one that can help us through the days that are coming. Lord, we're on thin ice in our nation, Lord, and you have the mighty security, Lord. Your feet are on the rock, Lord. You are the rock. Hallelujah. And you will stand in the flood. Praise God, you are King and you are able to help each and every one. Now, Lord, we pray, if there's one more here, Lord, and they are fudging, it isn't there, it hasn't been made, we pray they'll come this morning. Put your holy fire, your conviction on them, Lord, until everything in their life is transparent. It's made. The consecration is made. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Pray, saints. Just pray there'll be a spirit of conviction. Jesus, I tell you, oh, God, hallelujah. The issue is joined in this year. The issue is joined. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we seek the mighty face of Christ. Lord, we don't want to be swept along, Lord, in business as usual. We have deliberately taken ourselves, Lord, out from this economic system. Lord, we deliberately, Lord, are placing our hope in you. We don't want any 666 in our forehead or in our hand, Lord. We don't want to be a partaker of mammon, of the world's spirit of interest and commerce. Lord, we cast it out from our personalities. We cast this covetous thing out of ourselves, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we do not aspire to riches. We do not aspire to ease. We aspire to please God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. We aspire to seek your face, Lord, and turn from our wicked ways. Jesus, we aspire to know the mind of Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, you appear to each person in this room. Lord, and you tell them what you want, Lord, what you want of their lives, Lord. Hallelujah. The current message, Lord. The immediate challenge. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, God, we want to serve you, Lord. Oh, we do not aspire to glory in this world. We do not aspire to joy in this world, Lord. We aspire to joy in Jesus Christ. We aspire to the Spirit of God. We aspire to the joys of heaven. We aspire to be a great people and a strong. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, that we can march in that day and not be ashamed before you at your coming. Lord, we put everything on the altar. Everything on the altar. Everything on the altar. People, jobs, hopes, plans on the altar, Lord. We don't hold on to one. Into the hands of Jesus they go. Into the nail-scarred hands they go. Lord, you look at the people at the altar, Lord. Search their hearts. Let the candle of the Lord search the inward parts of the Spirit. Oh, yes, Lord, of the belly, Lord. Let it go down, down into the heart, Lord, into the conscious and subconscious. Lord, all everything that is not of you, Lord, is revealed. Hallelujah, every enemy of God. Hallelujah, Lord, that we may come upon it and slay it, Lord, that there might be peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anyone else who needs to come this morning while the Lord is here, while the conviction of God is here? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The fire of God's conviction and judgment. Praise your name. If you need any help, raise your hand and all the workers will come. Otherwise, we're just making our consecration to Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, God, you're alone are worthy, Jesus, that we should serve you, that we should not be bemused and befuddled, Lord, with the toys that Satan dingles in front of us. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to take a stand, Lord, that our relatives may have an anchor, a beacon light in the storm, Lord, because we are standing in Jesus. We are not moved with the currents of public opinion, Lord, of our nation. We are not moved with them, Lord. We are not moved with the sea that's driven and tossed, but we are in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We make our consecration this morning, Lord. Total, 100% thorough. Absolutely, Lord. You name it, we'll do it by your grace. You can take what you will from us, Lord. We will leave it in your nail-scarred hands. We do not fear. We only fear to displease you, Lord. We only fear to displease you. We have no other fear, Lord. Hallelujah. To Christ will be magnified in our life, body, whether by life or by death, Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever you want, that's what we want, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. That we may rejoice in the Son of God. Find peace and abundance in every necessary thing. Hallelujah. Every good thing in you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. How we rejoice, Jesus, that you ever saw fit to call us out of this world. Praise your name, Lord. To be a great people and a strong. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, a great people and a strong. Able to stand, Lord, in the day of darkness and thick gloominess. Able to stand and sing and dance in the heights of Zion. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, so wonderful. 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 Wonderful, wonderful. When the children are in, would the ushers come then and serve the communion? Please serve the people at the altar here first, if you will, so that we can make our consecration before the Lord. Those that are seated, I hope your consecration was made 100%, because I didn't intend on preaching on this morning. A different topic. God changed at the last minute. Just trust that what God wants is being said to be a witness to help us in the days to come, to understand the pressures, the inscrutable dealings of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Take heart. Don't be gloomy. Just don't be a gloomy people. We're rejoicing in the Lord. We rejoice. We rejoice in fear and trembling before your presence, Almighty Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, that you have chosen us to be kings and priests. Hallelujah, holy people, to go before the presence of the Lord and bear witness to a dying world. Hallelujah. Oh God, grant us that you will clean up our lives to such an extent that your glory can come into us, Lord, without measure, without precedent in the history of man. To be revealed for all the world to see, a light shining in the darkness. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that our young people might prophesy. Oh, men shall dream dreams. Pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh, Lord. That we may sing and dance in the heights of Zion, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not in the exuberance of the flesh, Lord, but in the moving of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have eternal joy. Praise your name. Praise your name. Eternal life, eternal peace. Hallelujah, Lord. Provide our needs, Lord, by a miracle. Hallelujah, that thy people will have abundance, Lord. Everything that they need. The army of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We see it on the horizon. Praise God. It's the army of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The glory of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. A great people and a strong. There's never been the like before it, even to the ears of many generations. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The glory of the coming of the Lord. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, breathe upon these slain, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. They may stand on their feet a mighty army. Oh, breathe into us resurrection life, Lord. That we can stand even in the face of death, hallelujah, and live by thy mighty power, O God of hosts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Prepare your hearts. If you have aught against a brother, forgive them. Let's forgive them before the Lord. your heart be clean. Hallelujah. If there's any sin, confess it to Jesus now. By your grace, Lord, we'll never do it again. Time is too short. Why should you wake up in dishonor and remorse someday? Because your sin has found you out. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Amen. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. Saints, what has been spoken in the ears will be shouted on the housetops. We're coming to that day of great people and a strong. The army of God's on the horizon. People filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Word of God. Living dead men, dead living men, alive in Christ, dead to the world. Praise your name, Jesus. A host without parallel in history. Lord's mighty men. Jesus' mighty men. Oh, hallelujah, that eat at his table. Yes, Lord, we're going to eat at your table this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the army of God. The light on the horizon. Praise your name. The vision for 1983, the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is there. He's present. He's come to lead his army. To feed them and then to lead them. Blessed be his name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, Jesus, as we approach your table this morning, Lord, let it be as the mighty men, even as David had his mighty men, Lord. We pray that we will not be 25 tables down the hall, Lord, but we'll be at the table of the mighty men. Hallelujah, with the shields hung round about, Lord. Oh, grant that we'll be at the very table, Lord, with thy valiant people. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, those whom you trust with the secrets of the kingdom, those whom you are going to endue with power from on high, the first in the kingdom that have come in the last days, that shall be strong and do exploits in the end time. Hallelujah, Lord, as we approach your table, we approach it without sin in our hearts, without self-seeking, without hope in this world, Lord, except that which God provides. We come, Lord, as people who have died to this world, died to self-will, died to sin, Lord. Hallelujah. But who are alive in Jesus Christ and at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah, Lord. That's how we come, to sit and eat and drink at your table with you, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Lord who's coming at the head of his army with a great people and a strong. Hallelujah. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me, mighty Jesus, captain of the Lord's hosts. Hallelujah, head of the forces of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, thou art the almighty Christ. Hallelujah, and we praise you that you have come this day. In 1983, you have come into your church in power without precedent, presence without precedent in the history of mankind. You have come to us in the end time, Lord, that we might be so filled with your power, Lord, that we can stand and help others to stand throughout this year which is coming, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That when judgment walks in the land, we shall walk with a mightier tread because Jesus is in us. Hallelujah. When all is swept away, we will stand. Hallelujah. As a beacon light and as a rock in a weary land. And upon all the glory shall be a defense. Praise your wonderful name. You are the shield over our head and our mighty fortress. You are our rock in whom we trust, our shield and our buckler. We put our hope and our trust in you this day, Lord. Let us not take your name in vain this day, but let us take it, Lord, as people who are trusting in Jesus and who really have your name upon us, Lord. You really have your name upon us, Lord, in truth and not just in word alone. Hallelujah. Now let this be your body and be your strength and be your might, that we may be a great people and a strong. Shall we partake together? Hallelujah. Christ and His mighty angels are among us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's preparing the host for war. It's a time of preparation in heaven and upon the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the same manner also He took the cup. Shall we hold the cup? Hallelujah. This is the cup when He has supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Let this blood be unto you the cleansing from all sin. If there's any unconfessed sin, confess it, and let this be the cleansing. Christ wants us to be healthy, spiritually, morally, mentally, every way strong and healthy, a great people, and a strong, not on the strength that the world gives, not in the strength that education gives, not in the strength that medicine gives or vitamins or anything else, but in the strength that Jesus gives through the eternal Spirit of God. Let that be our strength this day, Lord. Hallelujah, that we will overcome and the gates of hell cannot prevail, for we shall prevail against the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Shall we partake together? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, let Your strength be upon us. Let it be especially upon those at the altar, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that they may make a perfect consecration this day. Unalloyed, untempered, unqualified commitment to serve Jesus this coming year as never before. Never before. Pure, holy, serving the Lord, cleaving to Him with all diligence. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those at the altar, remain kneeling as you will. Do as you will, as that pleases you and God. The rest I want to stand. Now let's just worship the Lord and look to Him. Just looking to Him. Hallelujah. You are the living Christ, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. You are the God of armies. Blessed be Your holy name. Blessed be Your holy name. Oh, You're here among us, Lord. Hallelujah, that we might be wholly consecrated unto You. Oh, let Your sword pass among us, Lord, that all that is stubble will be burned up in the fire of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Cleanse the stubble from our lives. That which is wood, hay, and stubble, Lord, burn it out of us. Hallelujah. Burn the flesh out of us, Lord. Burn the flesh out of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Burn the flesh out of us. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. God has an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I have a part. Oh, God has an army
marching through the land. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I have a part. Oh, God has an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song and healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I have a part. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Somebody have a prophecy or something? Hey, yes, Lord.
Prove yourself.
Yes, Lord.
See whether you be in the faith.
Yes, Lord.
Examine yourself.
Yes, Lord.
Is there any reality in your God?
Yes, Lord.
Is there a people who truly do have deliverance as a song and healing in their hands?
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we have His people to be His people in deed and not in word only.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, He would have them rise up.
Yes, Lord.
And serve Him with a whole heart.
Yes, Lord.
And not hold back.
Yes, Lord.
Anything.
Amen.
That they might be His people.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, people have turned away.
Yes,
Lord. They have gone. They have wandered. They have left Him.
Yes, Lord.
But the Lord would call and cry out and say,
hallelujah.
Turn to me, my people.
Yes,
Lord. You have forgotten me days without number.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, you have forsaken me, the fountain of living water.
Yes,
now,
Lord.
Cisterns, broken cisterns.
Yes, Lord.
No water. Oh, you are a swift dromedary for looking your ways in the wilderness. A wild ass that snuffeth up her pleasure at the wind.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, for among my people are found wicked men. They are worse than the wicked ones. Oh, they have taught my people to commit abominations in my house.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, priests are greedy. Oh, covetousness is a spirit that is everywhere.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
Oh, my people. Oh, my people.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I believe right now we'll have a prayer for covetousness. I think that would be the Lord's will. That's probably the biggest devil that we're fighting right now, is the acquisition of material goods. Praise the Lord. And we'll pray a prayer now, and if you want to be delivered from covetousness, you just agree with the prayer, and we're going to take authority over this demonic God, this God that rules in America and rules sometimes even in the churches. The acquisition of material goods, a curse, blindness that blinds the eyes of judgment. Blinded Balaam, blinded Ananias and Sapphira, blinded Judas, blinded Gehazi, blinded every person that has ever trusted in it. Ikas Sundaya. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come against this God which has destroyed our nation. We come against this God which speaks every day over the television. We come against this God that speaks every day over the radio. We come against this God that speaks from every billboard, every magazine, everywhere we turn. this God of covetousness is speaking to us. And in thy name as the people of the Lord, in the name of Jesus the Lord, we come against this God which is in our midst, this cursed mammon, this God of covetousness. And in the name of Jesus the Lord, we bind this God of covetousness and we command it to leave this church and go out of this church and go out of everyone who agrees that it should go out of them. And leave this church, you devil. And we want nothing to do with you. You belong in hell. You devil of covetousness. You false god. We command you to leave our midst and leave this church and leave our minds and leave our spirits and leave our hands and leave our thoughts, leave our imaginations and leave our speech and leave our ears so that we cannot hear you or see you or touch you or taste you or feel you or have anything to do with you evermore forevermore. You devil of covetous, you were destroyed on the cross. You're a fallen spirit. You're a rebel against God. And we denounce you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we command you to leave our midst. You are not welcome in the kingdom of God. And God shall burn you with fire. God shall burn you with fire. God shall burn you with fire. And you will depart from us in the name of Jesus the Lord. In the name of Jesus the Lord. In the name of Jesus the Lord. Every root of you, every trace of you, out from our midst, you 666, you spirit of covetousness, we leave us, Antichrist spirit. We denounce you in the name of the Lord. And you are not welcome in the kingdom of God, but your place is in the lake of fire. And you will go there in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. You are not to abide in this church, in this people. For we have condemned you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Now, Lord, let your peace be in everyone who agrees. And those who do not, Lord, I pray that the fire of the Lord will come upon that devil until they cry out for deliverance. And Lord, those who receive it, we pray, your Holy Spirit will come in, and there will come trust in God instead of trust in money. We pray that trust in God will enter into the hearts of the faithful, Lord, and we will be free forever from this devil that fights against God every day. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance by your mighty power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And let everyone who's delivered from covetousness say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And those that are not can say, oh me, but you don't have to say it all. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for uncovering that seat of Satan, that cursed thing that keeps us blind. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to ask Leslie Knapp, if you will, just ask God's blessing on us as we depart.
And have the privilege, Lord, to come before you, Lord Jesus. Lord, and to confess our sins, Lord, and be cleansed. Lord, by forgiveness, Lord, and cleanse us from all iniquity. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you have paid that price. Lord, will you thank you, Lord, for your revealing of your word, Lord, that we may walk in freedom. And Lord Jesus, we may be loosed, Lord, from the chains of bondage from Satan himself. Lord, walk in newness of life, Lord. And look unto you, Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord, look unto you, Lord, who is able to take us through. And Lord, we put our hand in yours, Lord. And we ask, oh God, that you lead us. And oh God, Lord, do not slack up for our crying. And oh God, take us through, Lord, that we will truly overcome those things, Lord, that have caused us to fall short. And Lord, we will attain, Lord, and to that which we have been apprehended for. We ask, Lord God, your blessing upon this people. In the name of Jesus, we ask it.
Just a minute now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to say, is there anyone at the altar here who needs help? Just slip up your hand so I can say, I don't want to miss a soul. Otherwise, I figure the people here are just making their own consecration. You need help? Just slip up your hand. We have an altar worker. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you, please, don't go through the side door. Don't go through the other door for a tape. Go around, would you please, till the altars are cleared and the people are through praying. I know it's inconvenient, but you could just pray God will give us a larger church. But in the meanwhile, it's very disconcerting to people when we open this door, go to the door. So I beg your indulgence in this. Would you be so kind as to do that? God bless you, and just leave this area up here free from all...